Let us continue to worship our God and Savior by giving our attention to His Word. This morning we continue in our series in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. We are in Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, where St. Paul wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessedness you experienced? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Blessed be the King whose coming is in the name of God. He only to the humble reveals the face of God. Grant us, gentle Spirit of Christ, the humility of repentance and faith, that through these your holy words we might see the loving face of God. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, a few years ago there was a show on TV called Fit to Fat to Fit. It was a show in which a super in shape fitness trainer would stop exercising and start eating lots and lots of junk food for weeks and weeks and get really out of shape in order to relate to the struggles of their out of shape client and then lose weight and get in shape with them. So in each episode, a different trainer would struggle to go from fit to fat to fit. And their client would work with them to go from fat to fit. It was a fascinating show. Too bad it only lasted one season, as far as I know. In Galatia, a different kind of fit to fat to fit scenario was taking place, or at least St. Paul was hoping that it would ultimately take place. Through Paul's ministry, the Galatians had become spiritually fit, spiritually healthy, spiritually blessed. They had come to see the futility of works righteousness religion. They had come to see that true salvation is not based on human effort or competition. They had come to see that it is based on God's free grace to sinners in Jesus, His Son. And they had trusted in Jesus that He was their righteousness. And they were overjoyed because He had freed them from law-keeping as a means of salvation. No longer did they need to try to appease the gods of paganism that they had formerly served in order to be saved. They simply trusted in God's Son and His finished work, and they were reconciled to the one true and living God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They knew the rest and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Their lives began to brim with the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They were serving God and one another, not to earn God's favor, but rather out of a heart of gratitude to God for his amazing grace and out of a desire to love others as God had loved them. They were spiritually fit. They were flourishing. They were fruitful. Or to use the term that Paul used at the end of verse 15, they were in a state of genuine blessedness. But then along came the Judaizers with their moralism, legalism, and complex schemes of works, righteousness, salvation. They taught the Gentile Christians in Galatia that they needed to perform works of the Old Testament law in order to get right with God. And that appealed to the Galatians' flesh, our sinful pride, always wants to contribute something to our salvation. Works righteousness gives us a chance to compare ourselves to others so as to feel better about ourselves. Gives us a chance to morally preen and beat our chest at how morally superior we are to others. So the Galatians started picking up what the Judaizers were putting down. They started hanging out an awful lot at the Judaizers' spiritual all-you-can-eat buffet of works, righteousness, religion. And sure enough, they started to gain spiritual weight. They started to be weighed down with law-keeping as a means of feeling secure before God and before others. They were going from being spiritually fit, flourishing, and fruitful to being spiritually fat, flailing, and frustrated. Their previous love, joy, and excitement. You remember that feeling if you're a believer. That initial joy and excitement of simply trusting in Jesus for salvation. That joy, that excitement, they were beginning to be replaced with rigidity, irritability, and spiritual lethargy. Works righteousness and the insecurity it brings were weighing them down. As Richard Lovelace put it, Christians who are no longer sure that God loves and accepts them in Jesus apart from their present spiritual achievements are subconsciously, radically insecure persons, much less secure than non-Christians, because of the constant bulletins they receive from their Christian environment about the holiness of God and the righteousness they're supposed to have. Their insecurity shows itself in pride, a fierce defensive assertion of their own righteousness, and defensive criticism of others. They cling desperately to legal, Pharisaical righteousness, but envy and jealousy and other sins grow out of their fundamental insecurity. So Paul was circling back to the Galatians, trying to bring them back to the spiritual fitness they had once known. He was doing so not by taking them down to the track and telling them to run laps, or even going down to the track and running laps with them. He was seeking to bring them back to spiritual fitness by showing them Jesus Christ. Showing them Jesus. Reminding them of his sufficient salvation. He was seeking to woo them back to the simple, humble, joyful, self-forgetful, love-producing, grateful faith they had had in Jesus Christ. That is what Galatians is all about. Paul was seeking, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to bring about a fit, fat, fit scenario in the lives of the Galatians. He was calling them away from the crippling weightiness of law as a means of salvation, and calling them back to the free grace and invigorating lightness of Him who said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's consider how Paul was seeking to bring about that fit scenario in the lives of the Galatians under three headings. First, blessedness. Second, bartering. And third, blessedness again. First, blessedness. Paul asked the Galatians in verse 15, "What has become of your blessedness?" The word blessedness could be translated as happiness or enviableness. The Galatians were in a happy, a genuinely, truly happy and enviable condition when they first received Christ by simple, childlike faith. They had received Christ when they received Paul. Very important connection that we see here. They had received Christ when they received Paul and his message of grace. Paul had come to them unintentionally. During his first missionary journey, Paul had become ill. So he stopped in the Galatia in order to recover. But while he was there, he said, "I'm going to do what I like to do. I'm going to do what I love to do. I'm going to share the gospel with these people." He shared the good news, and the good news for them was that they received Paul. Now, their reception of Paul was a remarkable thing. We mustn't miss this. Typically, people think of a messenger sent from God as a strong, almost superhuman figure. They equate weakness or illness or suffering with God's punishment. Think about how Job's friends treated him when he was ill and suffering. They basically said, "Job, you must have done something really bad to be suffering like this." People who are close to God and living right before Him would never suffer like you're suffering. And this kind of thinking was especially prevalent in the Greco-Roman world. Suffering was, in their minds, a sign of divine displeasure. That's why, initially, many of them had trouble with the suffering of Christ, as did many of the Jews. It didn't compute. How can this be God suffering like this? So the fact that the Galatians received Paul, who was suffering in their midst, was commendable. He said to them in verse 12, "You did me no wrong." And in verse 14, "Though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, or even as Christ Jesus Himself." The Galatians didn't discard Paul. They didn't write him off because he was suffering. They respected him and welcomed him as if his words were from the lips of an angel, or from the lips of Jesus Himself. Paul spoke to them in weakness, but the Galatians felt the power of His message as if Jesus were present, speaking directly to them. So as they received Paul into their community and received His message of free grace into their hearts, they received Jesus as well. That's how it works now. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh. He is in glory in his crucified and glorified flesh. And he dispatches his servants, his ministers, to go forth, his apostles, those who are sent in his name. Even as God Almighty dispatches his angels to watch over you and to do his holy will on this earth, so Christ Jesus raises up and dispatches his servants, his representatives, his ambassadors, which each of us are called to be as his disciples, to go forth and proclaim the good news of free salvation by his grace, to receive one of his ambassadors, whether it's a little child or a minister of word and sacrament, is to receive his message, and receive Christ himself. And so the Galatians, as they welcome Paul into their community, as they welcomed his message into their hearts, they received Jesus as well. The word that Paul used for received in verse 14 could be translated as accepted. They accepted, they received, or as it could be translated, welcomed. It's the same word that Jesus himself used in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40 when he told his disciples, "Whoever receives or accepts or welcomes you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me." So by the gracious, invisible operations of the Holy Spirit, the Galatians received Paul and his message and his Savior and his Heavenly Father. They entered into the blessedness of receiving Christ. But like Adam and Eve in the garden, they didn't stay in that blessed condition very long. The Judaizers came along with their serpentine teachings about self-salvation. And that takes us to our second point, bartering. They went from blessedness, happiness, bartering. Max Lucado said this: "Salvation by grace sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Every other approach to God is a bartering system. If I do this, God will do that. In such bartering systems, I'm either saved by works, what I do, emotions, what I experience, or knowledge, what I know. By contrast, Christianity has no whiff of negotiation at all. Man is not the negotiator. Indeed, man has no grounds from which to negotiate." Under the influence of the Judaizers, the Galatians were moving from the blessedness of receiving Jesus to the bartering system of the Judaizers. This bartering system was leading them to be more and more insecure about their standing before God and his love for them. And thus, to borrow the aforementioned language of Richard Lovelace, their insecurity began to show itself in pride, a fierce defensiveness of their own righteousness, and defensive criticism of others, especially the Apostle Paul. They were clinging desperately to legal, Pharisaical righteousness, but envy and jealousy and other sins were growing out of their fundamental insecurity. In verse 15, Paul said that previously, in their state of blessedness, they would have gouged out their eyes and given them to me. Perhaps that is a clue to what Paul's ailment was. Perhaps Paul had trouble with his eyes. Perhaps his ailment had something to do with his eyes. And there's been volumes written on that topic. As one commentator said, though, it's hard enough to diagnose the ailment of a person who's living today, how much harder to diagnose the ailment of someone that lived 2,000 years ago. We don't know what his ailment was for sure. Perhaps it had something to do with his eyes. But what we do know is this. In their state of blessedness, when they were rejoicing in the overwhelming grace and generosity of Jesus to them, guess what? They were overwhelmingly gracious and generous to others, including Paul. But now, they were barterers. In their state of bartering, they'd become different people than they had been when Paul was there and they were so gracious and generous to him. In their state of bartering, Paul was led to ask them in verse 16, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Gracious and generous and hospitable no more. Rigid. Cold. Bartering. That's what the law will do. That's what the law will do. When we look to it as a means of salvation, as a means of feeling ourselves better than others. Turns us into different people than who we are by grace. So Paul was calling them away from the self-righteous, combative, unentreatable irritability of bartering, and back to the blessedness of receiving and resting in the free grace of Jesus Christ. And that takes us to our third point, blessedness again. Paul was hoping that though they had gone from blessedness to bartering, that he could woo them back to blessedness again. So he said in verse 12, brothers, could be translated brothers and sisters, is a term of endearment. Again, Paul's not casting them aside. Paul didn't say, you know, all is lost. Paul was communicating the old saying, you don't fall out of grace, you fall into grace. He was communicating to them God's gracious love for them when he called them brothers. You're not kicked out of the family because you've gotten confused, because you've taken some steps in the wrong direction. I love you. Christ loves you. Hear what we have to say. Brothers, I entreat you. Could be translated, I plead with you, I beg you. Become as I am. For I also have become as you are. To paraphrase, become as I am now. For I also became as you were. What did he mean by this? Paul, who had been the barterer of all barterers, the chief negotiator with God in the Pharisaic system of good works, had become like the Galatians and all Gentile Christians in the sense that he was no longer looking to Jewish law as a means of salvation. Paul said, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I was the barterer of barterers, and I saw the futility of that system. So I've laid it aside. I've counted it as rubbish. It's like one preacher years ago put it, I've cast all my sins into a heap, and I've cast all my good works as a way of justifying myself into the same heap. And I've fled from that heap to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's what Paul was saying. I no longer trust in law as a means of salvation. But ironically, the Gentile believers in Galatia, under the influence of the Judaizers and their legalism, were looking now, and this is what was blowing Paul's mind, these Gentiles were now looking to Jewish law in order to save them. So Paul said, now you've got to become like me in the sense that you are no longer, you must no longer trust in the law of salvation, for salvation. Brothers and sisters, return to the blessedness of simply receiving and resting in the free grace of Jesus. Fit to fat to fit. Blessedness to bartering, to blessedness again. Advent, which simply means coming or arrival, the coming, the arrival of Christ. Advent is that season in which we enter into the yearning of Old Testament Israel as they yearn for the first coming of Christ. And as we look forward to his second coming in glory, and as we ask him to come into our lives in a fresh way, renewing us by his grace. Advent is a season especially suited for such spiritual development, such blessedness to bartering, to blessedness again development. Advent is a special time to stop bartering. Stop the tit for tat. Stop the spiritual competition. Stop the jockeying for spiritual accolades like you're jostling your way into Walmart on Black Friday morning. It's a time for being still and receiving, accepting, welcoming Jesus through faith and resting in his unmerited love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.